Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
You're thinking Al-Qaeda has you.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's not even thinking. There was no doubt in my mind. I would have bet my life on the fact that I was captured.
Okay.
There was no question. To this day, it haunts my mom, the look I gave her, because it was literally utter betrayal. Like, I could not believe my mom just betrayed me to my worst possible enemy.
Well, this is your radio host, Richard Dover, and we are doing an interview today with my son, Joshua. Joshua, I trust you're on the line.
Yep.
All right. The reason I say I trust him on the line, because I'm in Arizona. I'm actually in Arkansas, and he is in Oregon, and so we're doing these interviews over the phone. With our last interview, we were talking about Josh's motorcycle crash and all the injuries that he had, and now he gets medevaced into the hospital. And I asked him in the last interview what were some of his thoughts when he's there in the hospital, and he shared part at first was angry with God and questioning God and felt like God's punishing him, and then he shared that he realized that instead of being angry at the God that he needed help from, he should probably call out to that God for his help. You call out to God, and we're going to talk about how you've seen God work and move, because it's pretty amazing. But before we get to that, what I want to do is talk about when you first wake up in the hospital. I should mention to everybody that when Josh is in the hospital, he has about every kind of wire you can think hooked up to him, every tubes in his throat, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. I've seen a couple. Josh, you have not seen the pictures of you in the hospital, have you?
I have, actually, just recently.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
So what did you think when you saw those pictures?
Cyborg.
So, Josh, what were your first thoughts when you wake up while you're in the hospital? Now, I'm talking about when you first just woke up in the hospital. And we're probably going to have you share a couple of things that happened in your life in the past before we get to that, because it ties into what your first thoughts were. So I want you to cover a little bit, so it'll be good preparation for what you were thinking when you woke up.
Yeah, so those that have listened to the first few interviews, you'd remember that we talked about my time as a Marine in Iraq and part of the Operation Iraqi Freedom War. And I went there twice, two different tours, through a few different phases. To keep that in mind, that I have that background. I've had indirect fire that I dealt with quite a bit. And I had a missile that was fired at me and another fellow Marine. And thankfully, we survived the attack. So just keeping that in mind, when I woke up, I will tell you guys that I was actually, at the time, I was on a drug called ketamine. It's a very powerful drug. It's a horse tranquilizer. It is very potent, obviously taken by humans. Excellent at being a pain reliever, but has a very high tendency to cause hallucinations. The very first thing when I woke up, I opened my eyes and I looked down and saw my right hand. And my thumb had two giant pins sticking out of the tip of it. And I looked at those pins, and I didn't feel any pain.
No, so to stop right there, I want to describe
yeah.
the pins a little better, because when I saw the pictures, it freaked me out, okay? And I'm not on any drug. But it's two pins sticking out of his finger, but they have little bulbs on them. They're like little knobs on two pins that are sticking out of his finger. And I don't know, they're about at least a half inch out or something like that?
Yeah, about a half inch sticking out of the thumb, and didn't know until later they go the full length of the thumb.
Okay, so
on the inside.
Go back, so you look at that.
So I look down and I see that, and the first thing that doesn't make sense to me is how the earth do I have these pins in me and I don't have any pain? And then second of all, why the heck do I have pins in me? And I start to look around the room, and I start seeing all these machines. And so I'm like, okay, what the heck's going on? And I go to stand up, get out of this laying position that I'm in, and I can't move whatsoever, and not even an inkling. And I was like, okay, what the heck is going on here? I look to my left, and there's essentially like an IV machine pumping liquids into me, and I can't move. I don't feel any pain, so I'm not hurt, and I have two pins sticking out of my thumb, and I thought to myself, dear Lord, and the thought, you know, this is stupid, but I thought about back to Vietnam War and, you know, the torture with the fingernail torture, shoving bamboo shoots under your fingernails. And I thought, well, this must be like an upgraded version. And I literally thought that I had been captured by Al-Qaeda, didn't really have any brain, you know, power thinking about, you know, what just happened the last, you know, my last thoughts, all that. It literally brain was straight on what's happening now. And I thought that I was literally being tortured, and I must have been put in this so-called cell or whatever after the last torture session, and it must have been so painful and so bad that I don't remember it, and now they're pumping me with drugs to make it so that I can't move my body so I can't escape.
Okay.
And that was the first thought.
And just stop there. Nobody knows that you're having these thoughts.
No, not at all.
Your mom and sister were there at the various times with you. There's the nurses, the doctors. Not a single person knows that you're having these thoughts. The only person that knows that is you and God. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you're obviously not thinking, I'm in the hospital after a motorcycle crash.
Not at all. And actually, I had, once they found out I was awake, I was told that by the nurses, and it definitely didn't believe him, because being told you're in a horrific motorcycle crash and not feeling any pain, you know, that's definitely a lie.
Okay.
There's no way you can go through something like that and not have pain.
Okay, so right there, I want to jump in and say this. What Josh is going to share now is the whole reason that we started doing podcasts, because he's going to share what went on, and then when he is able to ultimately tell somebody what he was thinking, which will explain his behavior. You're going to hear about his behavior and actions are. They said you need to do a podcast about this because it will help others to understand things. And so that's why we got into doing all this, is because of this very story that Josh is sharing right now. So okay, so you think that you're in a torture room and all that, so keep going.
Yeah, I'm trying to look around the room. I can't lift my head. I can't move hardly at all, like a twitchy finger, that kind of thing. And I realize that there's something around my left arm. Can't tell what it is because I can't quite see it very well. And I feel like it's something, some shackle or something, basically keeping me attached to the bed. And I had two nurses in the room at the time.
Oh, no, before you go there, just explain what that is, because I saw the picture of you. And it'll make more sense if you describe what was on your left arm.
Yeah, well, didn't know it at the time, but found out later it was a huge cast. A very big cast.
Very huge.
A very heavy one. It
was
very,
very
heavy.
Very, very, very huge. Okay, so go ahead.
So I in my head, I'm thinking, you know, I have two nurses in here with me. I'm thinking they're pumping me with drugs that are keeping me in this bed, and if I can stop the drugs from getting into me, then I can eventually escape. And so I constantly had nurses in the room with me. So doing anything without them in there was not an option in my head. And so when I noticed they were both not looking directly at me, I mustered everything I had within me and lifted my left arm. And I knew whatever it was heavy. And I swung as hard as I could at the IV unit that was next to me. And I got two huge swings into it. By the second swing, I got tackled by both the nurses. And my thought was, if I can destroy this machine that's pumping into me, there's no way in hell they have an extra machine. I mean, you know, it's not like Al-Qaeda is equipped with a whole bunch of stuff. And so I thought, you know, hey, I did the damage. I did what I needed to do. They obviously, you know, tackled me, stopped me. And then I tried to play it off like, oh, sorry, I got confused and, you know, just freaked out or something. Just, you know, try to play things off. And
the reason you're trying to play things off, because you don't want them to know that you're trying to escape, you're trying to stop what they're doing, and so you're being a good soldier.
I'm literally trying to formulate a plan of escape, and obviously you play the stupid card, or you know, I was scared and just flailing, and oops, I didn't mean to hit that thing, or you basically play the dumb card, and it felt like it worked because they backed off and they just watched me for a minute, and then they kind of turned back and started talking to each other, and I was fine, just laying there. And then I thought to myself, well, I gotta get these pins out because I happened to look at my hand again, and it scared the hell out of me, just seeing two pins stuck in you. And so I reached over and I grabbed them to go pull them out, and I wasn't paying attention to the ladies because I was so focused on these pins, and they tackled me again and stopped me from pulling my pins out of my thumb, thank the Lord. And that was kind of the first moment of me waking up. That was the first few minutes of me waking up in the hospital.
In the midst of this, again, nobody knows why you're acting the way you're acting.
They don't have a clue. They just think they have a patient that is a little unruly, I guess. I don't know what they were really thinking.
Then you had shared something about then they end up putting a video camera or something on you.
Yeah, so I was laying in bed, and my mother was sitting on a chair kind of towards the foot of my bed. And I was confused because I thought, well, they must have, somehow got my whole family. And now they're going to try to use my mom against me.
So you knew that was your mom?
I knew it was my mom, but I could not fathom how they captured my mom and how come she's not in shackles. Like, it didn't make sense to me.
This is still going, you're still thinking, even when you see your mom, you're still thinking Al-Qaeda has you.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's not even thinking. There was no doubt in my mind. I would have bet my life on the fact that I was captured.
Okay.
There was no question. So she's sitting there, and I am slowly putting my right foot onto the side of my bed. And at first, the nurses saw it, and they said, what's going on? And I said, oh, my leg hurts, and this makes it feel better. Well, I didn't realize at the time that I actually had a huge hip injury. And so to them, that made kind of sense to, maybe it hurts, where he's got
right.
it, so maybe that helps.
Right.
And so they let it be because, they were thinking, if he's got such a big injury, maybe this helps him. So I slowly kept moving it further and further down because in my head I was like, the instant I can muster up any bit of energy, which, I didn't have much of anything, but I muster something up, I'm going to get out of bed and run. And unfortunately...
And so in the midst of this, you're still not feeling a whole lot of pain?
I didn't feel any pain whatsoever.
Okay.
That drug is amazing at not letting you feel pain, but as you can obviously hear, there's a bit of a caveat to that. You end up having some severe hallucination and your warped reality. The thing, as far as the pain goes, not a single bit of pain. And so my mom happens to notice that over in about an hour's time, I have gotten my foot quite the distance down the side of the bed, and she finally calls the nurses over, and I hear her whispering to them that over the last hour I've been sliding my foot down the bed, and she thinks I'm trying to escape. And I looked at my mom.
Did you hear that?
I heard that, and I looked straight at my mom. And after talking to my mom about this weeks later, to this day it haunts my mom, the look I gave her. Because it was literally utter betrayal. Like, I could not believe my mom just betrayed me to my worst possible enemy. And so and that still bothers her, the look that I gave her. And then they ended up wheeling in this giant, they got small electronics these days, but this thing was old school. If you're my age or older, you had the VHS and the TV brought in for some
right.
science class video or something. It was a giant thing like that. And they wheeled that into the room to watch me 24/7. And even at night, if I was trying to get bandages off, trying to still escape, they would see it and they would say, Joshua, stop it. And then they would send a nurse in within a minute of me doing something. And so I was watched 24/7 after that point.
And
but,
how long did this go on?
This was about a week long.
Wait, hold on. You think you were with Al-Qaeda went for a week?
Yeah, it was a week long. And I switched tactics. I realized at this point with the camera, I realized there is no way on earth that I will be able to physically escape. And so during the day, the video was off most of the time because I usually had one nurse with me, watching me most of the time because of the condition I was in. So I turned to psychological warfare, and I started saying things to, like, I'd honestly kind of vetted the nurses and thought, you know, this is the one that I think is the weakest mentally. And I would tell her, you know, some nasty things. Like, I would tell her, you know, I think you're great, but I hate to tell you this, but the other nurses are saying the only reason you got this job is because you slept with the doctors. And, you know, obviously that's a total lie, but, you know, and they, you know, kind of get a reaction, you know, out of them from that. And then later I'd have another nurse come into me, ask me, why would you say something like that? And then I would pit them against each other. I would say certain things. I'd be like, well, you should have heard what she said about you and stuff like that, because I thought if I could cause disruption, I could get this nurse maybe to kind of side with me and be on my side, to the point that maybe I can get her to unplug this machine that's making it so I can't move, and then I could escape. And I thought, you know what, if I can't do physical, then I got to go to psychological. And I did that for the last about 4 days, and said some of the nastiest things on the planet that to this day haunt me. But in this situation, if I was ever in the situation like that, anything is fair. You know, if your life is on the line, it doesn't matter what you say if it gets you out of there. And
we're almost at the end of the show here. What? Well, some of this I haven't heard yet, so I thought this was a couple of days. I didn't know this was going on for a week. So,
yeah, about a week long, yeah.
So what happened? What got you to the right mind? And was pain starting to happen?
No. Well, what happened is they took me off ketamine, started putting me on other medicine, and there was a kind of a clarity that came about me. And obviously when they took me off ketamine, started feeling a significant amount of pain. And so the logic started to make sense. You know, when they said I was in a horrible accident, well, yeah, I'm feeling some pretty amazing pain, then this could be legit. And then I started to realize this is actually a hospital. These are actually doctors. These are nurses. You know, this isn't Al-Qaeda, you know. And so the reality came back to me, and my brain basically was no longer being fed a bunch of lies from, you know, the medicine.
So, oh man, we got so much to talk about, Josh. I mean, we'll be doing, I don't know how many recordings, are we coming to the end of this one, but I want to share a couple of things, and we'll use this as the leadway into another show at a different time. Is I'm getting reports that Josh, oh, you didn't say it, but he also was talking in gibberish. You want to say that one real quick?
Yeah, that was another thing of trying to mess with their brains, is they would ask me questions and I would speak to them in what sounded somewhat like Russian, but was not a language at all. And I actually had several nurses ask my mom, is he speaking Russian or what is he speaking? And she said, no, he's making it up. And my mom was the worst at being my you know, helping me. She was, you know, giving him all my tricks, so I couldn't mess with him. But I was doing that to confuse them, literally trying to just mess with their brains to cause, you know, strife and make it to the point where I could break them down mentally.
Okay, so I get the report of all this as it's coming in. So his mom is either texting me or his, we call her Alaska mom, his stepmom, is texting me or calling me. His sister is the main communication to his Alaska mom, and my main communication is either come from her or some from his natural birth mom. I'm not talking to him. I'm not there. And I'm hearing this stuff, and they're thinking Josh has a brain injury, that he's got major brain damage. We thought literally he was losing his mind. We thought that he's going to have permanent brain injury. because we thought all this was caused by the accident. Everything that he's describing as behavior, we thought was caused from the accident. I even went to, I've never told you this, Josh, but when I heard about you talking the gibberish, when, I don't know if you know this or not, or if you remember, but when you was young, but you tried to make up your own language. Do you remember that?
Nope, no, didn't know that
at
all.
You don't remember that?
Yeah, no, but it
young,
sounds exactly like me.
Yeah, I don't remember your age, but you literally, it was irritating me, and you actually were making up a bunch of words and saying you're going to make your own language. So I'm thinking Josh has gone into his childhood. And so I told some, I don't remember who I told about that and all that. So now we're praying. There's a lot of things, Josh, we were praying about. We were really off, okay? We were praying and coming against things and claiming things and everything else, and we had no idea, just like the nurses had no idea. And so we're thinking you had a brain injury and that you're going back into your childhood. Your voice, we didn't mention it, but your voice also was recently.
Very weak. Very
weak,
young.
And you sound like a kid.
Absolutely.
The first time you talked, it freaked me out because I thought I got my 8-year-old son back. I don't have my son's 40-year-old.
I sounded like an 8-year-old.
And so all this is going on, and we're praying and everything else. But I want to end the show. We got more to go. But I want to end the show saying, even though we're praying the wrong things, God is answering our prayers. Because obviously, Josh didn't stay in that condition. Obviously, he's alive, well, sound, doesn't have a brain injury. He's not a little kid, all that stuff. I believe God will answer the prayers, but the prayers that we could pray, what we know at the time, we got the – you know, the real information, what was going on. I got even more now as I talked to Josh. But then the nurses knew what was going on. And then with the nurse, when she found all this stuff, she says, this explains a whole lot of stuff, and you need to share with others. And what I wanted to do is in our next show, we'll talk more with that specific UTM, what the nurse said, and I want to talk about how this is helpful for people, and that run the reason we're doing these podcasts, because there's a lot of different things that have gone on through Josh's injuries, through misdiagnosis by the doctors, mishandling by the doctors, through a lot of different things that I believe absolutely prayer was there. I think Josh would say the same thing. And I just want our listeners to know, if you ever go through something like this, it may be different than what you think it is. And you may be able to help people in a different way if you knew that things may not be what they appear to be. You really need to call out to God when this stuff is happening, and he'll answer, and he knows what's going on. He knew exactly what was going on with Josh, and he can intervene. And we are, you know, just thankful that it was not a brain injury. And we'll talk more about that also. But we have to finish up. Man, time goes by fast, and we're trying to get this all in. So, Josh, thank you for sharing. Thank you for opening up your story. We're going to talk another time about that you're willing to be vulnerable and open and share the different things that you've shared. I mean, for some people, they'd be very embarrassed to share what you shared. I mean,
it's embarrassing.
Isn't it?
It's embarrassing, and it's also something I asked forgiveness of every nurse for the next week after I found out. I asked forgiveness from anyone that worked with me for anything that I said to them because some of the vile things I had said.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure it's embarrassing when you wake up and realize what's going on, and that all of that would be very embarrassing and feel shame and guilt and everything else. Well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Josh, for the interview. I appreciate you doing it. And we got to get to another time, another interview, just the fact that, I don't know what it is now, probably 4 days ago, we thought we had lost you, that you were literally going to die on us. And that's a whole other story. So I love the fact you can talk, you have energy, you're breathing, all that kind of stuff. I mean, God has just been on your side, and I am just as blessed as a father to see that happening. So thank you for taking the time to share.
Yep,